Well, good morning, friends, and welcome to Good Morning Live. It is so good to be with you this morning. A few minutes, about 5 minutes behind on schedule. So, but we're here. We're doing it. We're making it happen. So, if you didn't know, our family, my wife Sarah had a cold and a cough for a few days, and my son Bob ended up getting it, so he hadn't been at daycare. For about a week. And so he had to go back today, and he was not happy about that. So it just took a little bit longer at drop off. And I'm like, come on, Bob, I got to get to Good Morning Live. But yeah, it's so funny when your kids learn new stuff. His whole thing that he kept yelling as I'm taking him in the daycare is, it's not fair. It's not fair. And I know he doesn't really have concept of that. So that's something he picked up from his older sisters. Yelling, it's not fair. So anyway, that's how my morning went. So how's yours been going? Chat in, let us know where you're watching from. Let us know you're on with us today. And we have been in a series that I'm calling Help. And what we've been doing is we're looking at different aspects of the Christian life that maybe we get stuck in, very, I don't say common areas, but areas of the Christian walk that a lot of people sometimes get stuck in, and we just need help. Like we talked yesterday about reading the Bible and how sometimes that can be intimidating and setting those rhythms and patterns in our life. And today I want to talk about something that I don't care who you are, where you're from, how long you've been saved, something that we all desperately need help in. We all need help with some of the hard things that Jesus asked us to do, right? Like Jesus didn't ask us to do easy and convenient things all the time that just come naturally to us. But one of the hardest things I think that Jesus asked us to do is forgive. Now don't click out because I said the word forgive, because if you struggle in forgiveness, or there's still some people in your life that you just feel like, now that's never going to happen, I'm out of here. No, there's power in forgiveness, and Jesus enables us to do what he's asked us to do. And sometimes, I've been in seasons of my life where I thought I've forgiven somebody, and then find myself years later thinking about that person and realizing, man, I don't know that I ever did forgive that person. So I want to open the scripture together and find out where we can get help for forgiveness. Why? Because forgiveness matters. Forgiveness isn't an elective, if you will, in God's curriculum, right? It's not like, hey, here's the Bible, and if you choose to forgive in here somewhere, that's great. No, it's actually a required subject in the life of a believer. Jesus returns to it again and again in his prayers, in his commands, in his parable. Why does he talk about it so much? Because unresolved offenses will always sabotage your future. And that's something you have to know right there. It doesn't sabotage anybody else's future. It sabotages your future. So you can't change the past, but you can choose forgiveness. And that choice will always reshape what comes next for you. So let's read the Bible together, Matthew 18, verse 21. And it says, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Peter's like saying, seven times? Come on, that's just trying to throw out this big number to Jesus. Like, come on, surely you wouldn't want me to forgive him more than seven times, right? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. So Peter wants a number, which I think is strange to begin with, that he just so desperately wants a number for some reason. But he wants a number, and Jesus gives a nature. Forgiveness isn't a quota. Why? We know that from 1 Corinthians 13, that love keeps no record of wrongs. Like, and I get Peter's understanding, like, all right, God, if you're going to ask me to do this forgiveness thing, then at least give me something, at least give me a number, like, just, you know, tell me when I can cut this thing off. But what Jesus is saying, and I know, you know, we can add up 70 times seven in one day, like, but really what Jesus is saying is, listen, love keeps no record of wrongs. It's not a, you know, well, you did this and I'll do that. And you did this seven times and I'll forgive you up to, you know, 70 times seven. But after that, I'm cut off. No, love keeps no record of wrongs. Jesus also told a parable in Matthew 18 that says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. Pay me what you owe me. He would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. You wicked servant, said the king, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? So my heavenly Father also will do to you, if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. So, two axes here: vertical forgiveness, God to us, and horizontal forgiveness, us to others. The first empowers, but it also obligates the second. It obligates the second. Just, you know, because we've been forgiven, it obligates us to go on and forgive others. Right? So I want to give you real quick four facts about forgiveness. Number one, let's just say it like it is. Forgiveness is difficult. Forgiveness is difficult. It is not easy. I don't care who you are, it's hard. The fact that you have to forgive means that there's been some type of offense towards you, some type of wrong that was done to you, or an offense, or, you know, something happened that caused you to need to walk in forgiveness. And forgiveness, it always confronts painful emotions, whether it's betrayal or slander or loss. It feels like surrendering the right for justice. Forgiveness risks being hurt again. But yet Jesus moves and says, come on, 70 times seven. Love has no record of wrong. Another scripture says, listen, if your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day and says, I repent, you shall forgive him. So another reason that forgiveness is difficult is forgiveness actually is a response to faith. Forgiveness actually increases our faith. Do you know what forgiveness says? It says, God, I trust you for justice, for vengeance. I trust you to handle this situation more than my ability to handle it. Forgiveness increases our faith and dependence on God. Yeah, we could go out and tell that person off. You know, we could get physical. We could do, you know, whatever, you know, our flesh wants to do. But when you walk in forgiveness, what you're saying is, you're saying, by faith, I trust God with this situation. I trust God to handle my enemies. I trust God to deal with humanity and people. I trust God to deal with them. I leave them in God's hands. So it increases our faith. And that's what we pray when forgiveness feels impossible. When forgiveness feels hard, like, God, there is no way I can let this go. There's no way I can walk away from this. There's no way. Well, come on, we sing, we serve a way maker. Just sometimes the way he makes isn't the way we want. But the way maker makes a way of forgiveness. And the prayer we pray when forgiveness seems hard is, Lord, I trust you more than I trust in my ability or my desire for vengeance or for justice. So Father, I choose to forgive that person, and I lay that person or those people or that situation into your hands. So number one, forgiveness is hard. Number two, forgiveness is divine. Listen, God delights to forgive an unpayable debt. I mean, isn't that the message of the cross? Isn't that the message of the gospel, is that we all had a debt that could not be paid? We all had sin that we couldn't get free from. And before we could give him anything, before we could worship him, before we could do anything, he chose to forgive us. Like, that's that vertical truth, right? That forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. If we say, I'm giving you a few scriptures here, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. I mean, look at Jesus on the cross, who would loudly declare, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Forgiveness is divine. It's supernatural. You know, we talked last week about help in the love walk, right? And what I taught us is that, you know, the love of God is always supernatural. And that for some reason we think, well, if I don't have the human capacity to love somebody, then it's just not going to happen. But we can tap into the supernatural. I know we want to tap into the supernatural for prophecy and to get a word and make us feel better about ourselves. But come on, we can tap into the supernatural for the fruit of the Spirit, right? Like, Father, help me. Supernaturally, give me the love to love that person. Help me see that person how you see that person. And that's what Jesus did at the cross. He taught us, like, listen, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. We have to learn to see people through the eyes of Jesus. You don't know what was in somebody's background. You don't know what caused them. And I'm not justifying people's sin. Well, let them do what they want to do because of, you know, their background. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is we don't see the full picture as Jesus, as God would see the full picture when it comes to justice, when it comes to, you know, settling debt, so to speak. So what do? We tap into the supernatural, the divine, and say, Lord, help me forgive. Help me forgive. And listen, when you keep a short record of wrong, when you are quick to forgive, it keeps your fellowship with God fresh. Right? Actually, you know, Jesus said, I can't forgive you unless you forgive other people. That was the point of that parable that I read to you. That's what we're getting to next. Number three, forgiveness is demanded. It's hard, it's divine, but it's also demanded. Receiving mercy requires extending mercy. I've said this for years, I've preached it, you know, but we often want justice for everyone else, but mercy for ourselves. And if you think, well, that's not me, it's played out the best, come on, when you see somebody else pulled over by a police officer, right? Because why? We drive by somebody who's got pulled over by the cops and you're like, well, shouldn't have been speeding. Write them a ticket. Come on. We all know this is a 25 zone. Give them what they deserve. You know, we pass judgment in that way. But the moment we see those lights flashing behind our car, we're praying in the Spirit, Jesus, please help me, get me out of this. We're praying to God, give me mercy, give me grace, give me forgiveness. You know, and it shows that innate in us is we want judgment for everyone else, but mercy for us. But receiving mercy requires extending mercy for everyone else. Freely we have received, so freely we must give. Think about to that parable. The forgiving servant refused to forgive a small debt, and the king called it wickedness. Listen, refusing to forgive is hypocritical and invites inner torment, restless thoughts, corrosive bitterness. So we got to be quick to forgive. Keep a short record of accounts. It is commanded in Scripture. Ephesians 4:32 says, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you, even as God in Christ forgave you, even as, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ forgave you. Think back to the Lord's Prayer. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Here's the key that you need to know. If you do not forgive, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And let me just say this right here. Because we like to shout and we like to jump and rejoice that we are the redeemed, the blood bought. We are Christ elect. We've been forgiven. We are the church. But sometimes I wonder if stuff isn't happening in our world. If we're not necessarily receiving, because when, you know, when there's forgiveness, it covers, right? And we trust God to sometimes cancel the penalty of what we did wrong. But sometimes I wonder if stuff's not happening in our world because we think that Christ has forgiven us, but he hasn't. And it's not because we haven't asked, and it's not because he doesn't want to. But listen to what Matthew 6:14 says. If you do not forgive, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So it is entirely possible, based off of that scripture, to have asked God to forgive you, but he has refused because you have refused to forgive someone else. So we blindly think, oh, well, I'm forgiven, I'm cleansed, I'm clean, but wonder why stuff's not working in our lives like it's supposed to work. Why, you know, the scriptures we're standing on aren't manifesting, why the healing's not coming, why the breakthrough's not happening, and Christ is saying it's because I can't forgive you and release you into the blessing that I've called you to walk in, and it's all hinged on the fact that you will not forgive that person. Forgiveness is a big deal in the kingdom of God. If you do not forgive, listen, I'm going to read it again, Matthew 6:14 to 15. If you do not forgive, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So could it be we're not walking in the blessing, we're not walking in divine health, we're not walking in the favor of God, we're not walking in breakthrough, we're not walking in all those promises of God. We're restless in our sleep, things just aren't going well for us in life. But we've deceived ourselves because we thought we could withhold something that Christ freely gives us, that we could withhold that from someone else. And God says, no, you withhold that from them, I withhold it from you. So maybe on the other side of your choice to forgive today is the rushing, gushing forgiveness of God towards you that breaks open those heavens that seem like brass, breaks open those roadblocks, those hindrances that you just can't get over. If you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. Now listen, I want to clarify this. This isn't talking about forgive to be saved, right? Like all who come to the Father will be saved, but the saved will be forgiving. Forgiveness is a fruit of grace. So, and lastly, number four, forgiveness is doable. Listen, Jesus never commands what he won't empower. He won't command what he doesn't empower. He says this, should you not also have had compassion just as I had pity on you? This is again from the parable that we just read. Should you not also have had compassion just as I had pity on you? Forgiveness is a spirit-enabled choice to release a debtor from the obligation to pay you back, entrusting God to justice, entrusting the right for justice, entrusting your right to an entitlement to speak your truth and put that person in their place. You're saying, no, I trust that to God. Romans 12:19 says, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. So how do we put all this into practice real quick today? Number one, stay upward in prayer. Pray blessings over the person who wronged you. I have found this so true in my life. It is so hard to carry a grudge against somebody you pray for consistently. It is so hard. So what I do is if I start feeling offended at somebody, I add them to my daily prayer list. I mean, I have a prayer list where people I pray for and things I pray for every day. And then other times, you know, you add stuff in as life happens or you think of something, but I got to set. And if I feel like, Lord, I'm really struggling with this person, I add them to my daily prayer list. And what I have found, it is very hard to not feel compassion towards someone that you are currently every day praying for. Father, I pray for them. I pray for their marriage. I pray that you bless them. I pray, you know, and here's what you don't pray. I don't pray, you know, well, Lord, I pray that you reveal to them. What are you doing? You're using your prayer as a avenue to try to bring vengeance or to move God. No. I pray blessing. I pray favor over them. I pray the kindness of God. I pray things go well for them. I pray, Lord, that they find favor everywhere they go. I pray that you're opening doors for them. And then I ask God for me, God, give me a heart that is aligned with your mercy. Matthew 7:12 says that whatever you want men to do to you, you do also to them. You do also to them. So you could pray a simple prayer like, Father, because you have forgiven me so much, I choose to forgive that person. Bless and heal that person. Align my heart with yours. Let me see them like you see them. Give me a heart of compassion. So number two, we move inward, which is a decision with process. So the decision in a situation where somebody has offended you can be, you don't owe me. I release you. And then we process that. What I'm saying, we make a decision, we follow up with process. Because often what happens is when you make the decision to forgive, pain will resurface. That feeling will resurface. So what do you have to do? You have to reaffirm the decision. Why? Because emotions always follow obedience. Emotions always follow obedience. What I have come to do is especially if it's a big thing, not somebody cut me off in the parking lot and now I'm struggling, but you know, if it's someone I've really struggled to forgive, I will write down the date that I forgave that person, whether it's in the front of my Bible, in a notebook somewhere, in a journal, because when I come back and I start feeling that anger and I start feeling, oh God, you know, you start seeing the blessing of God being released on them and it brings up all those feelings. What I do is I come back to that date and I say, no, on that date, I made a decision to forgive them. Therefore, right now, as these feelings are resurfacing, I reaffirm that decision. I reaffirm that decision. I know my emotions may not feel it. I know my flesh doesn't feel it, but I am reaffirming the decision I made in Christ that I forgive that person. I will speak no evil of them. I will pray for them. I will bless them. And I will forgive. So instead of replaying what they did in your mind, sometimes you have to replace that replay. No, I'm not going to think about what they did. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to replay scripture like Ephesians 4 that says, let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you, and be kind, forgiving one another. I'll replay that every time I think about the person. And then number three, reach outward. You reconcile when possible. Prioritize reconciliation as far as it depends on you. Actually, the scripture says, if you bring your gift to the altar and remember that your brother has something against you, first, before you bring your gift, be reconciled to your brother. Now, listen, if access is denied, like, you know, if you try to make reconciliation in that thing and they're not having it, well, listen, you maintain a clear conscience. Lord, I did everything in my power to reconcile that relationship. It's just, you know, that decision is there. You can't force yourself and your relationship and, you know, want somebody else. But you maintain a clear conscience. So remember what the scripture says. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. As much as it depends on you. Lord, there's nothing in me that's holding that relationship from being restored. Much as it depends on me, I've done that. But now let me say this. Forgiveness and reconciliation are related but not distinct. Forgiveness should always be granted. Forgiveness should always be granted. But trust is rebuilt over time with fruit in keeping with repentance. So what am I saying here? I'm saying is that God's not called you to be a doormat for somebody else. God's not called you to put yourself in harm's way. God's not called you to be somebody else's punching bag or, you know, just to take on the problems of everybody else. That's not what God's called you to do. He's called you to forgive and live peaceably as within your power to with other people. But sometimes to maintain forgiveness, you have to say, listen, I can't walk in relationship with another person because of what they continue to do, right? So I have to put healthy boundaries. Now, healthy boundaries don't mean I run around and tell everybody else, hey, I ain't talking to them anymore. You should see what they did to me. No, 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 no. Healthy boundary means I'm still going to bless them. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to be kind to them. I'm not going to speak evil about them. I'm going to do everything in my power to restore the relationship. But until they change that behavior or that pattern, my mom used to say it, I have to love you from afar. I just have to love you with a little bit of distance here, right? So I want to be clear on that. We place healthy boundaries. And some of you might be saying, well, if I forgive, am I minimizing what they did to me, what they did wrong? No. Forgiveness names the wrong, but releases the vengeance to God. So no, we don't have to trust someone immediately after we forgive them. I always, you know, you heard that old saying that says when someone shows you who they are, believe them. Somebody stabs you in the back. If somebody gossips about you, well, listen, they're showing you who they are. Believe them. I will forgive them for that gossip. I will forgive them for stabbing me in the back. But if they want access into my life, into my inner, you know, I'm not saying my inner circle, but you understand, people you do life with, you know, intimately. Well, no, that's a privileged area of confidence. So no, it'll take time to rebuild that and to establish trust. And, you know, forgiveness is immediate. I will forgive. I'm going to let that go. Again, I'm not going to see you on the street and, you know, give you half the peace sign and tell you off and be angry. No, no, no. I've chosen to forgive you. But trust coming back to my inner circle, coming back to where I open my life up to you again, has to be earned. Actually, Luke 3:8 says that bear fruits worthy of repentance. Worthy of repentance. It's a fruit. So you have to let, you know, listen, when people show me that they've repented, then we can talk about, you know, how certain things move forward. But that brings the question, what do we do if the sin continues? Well, we set those wise boundaries. We follow Matthew 18 steps of loving confrontation, right? Involving appropriate authority when needed, understanding that forgiveness is a posture, but we steward safety with wisdom, right? So I know this is a really, sometimes for some people, a hard balance to kind of figure out. How do I, you know, I still have to work with this person. How do I forgive them and still work with them? Listen. We trust Jesus to forgive our sins, to save our soul, to take us to heaven when we take our last breath on this earth, that he's preparing mansions for us on streets of gold. Like, we believe in the supernatural of God. As much as we can trust him for all of that, we can trust him that, Lord, help me walk in love towards that person. Help me set healthy boundaries. And listen, setting healthy boundaries might mean having that conversation that says, listen, I love you with the love of Christ. I forgive you. I have no grudge against you. You know, but here's what you've done. Here's the pattern. Here's how it has affected me. And I don't want to keep having that experience in my life. So I'm going to love you. I forgive you. There's no, you know, negativity here on my part. But I'm just going to have to keep my distance, or I'm just going to have to be a little bit more reserved around you or guarded, because this is what, you know, this is what I'm experiencing from you. And most of the time people are blind. They're like, oh, I didn't even know I was doing that. I didn't even know that offended you. And great, we can restore the relationship and move forward. But other people who are just blind and just refuse to acknowledge it. And, you know, you got to set those healthy boundaries. But it does not let you off the hook of walking in forgiveness towards that person. So I just ask you today, is there anyone who's offense you've been carrying. Pray upward and pray aloud. Make that decision to forgive and to release. Plan, if you can, taking that one step of reconciliation. Message them, set a meeting, set a mediated conversation, if that's appropriate. Memorize one verse of scripture as your renewal script. I gave you a bunch today. You could find it all back on the replay. For me, I come back to Ephesians 4:32, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So this parable contrasts a vast canceled debt with a small collected debt. Followers of Jesus are people of the canceled ledger. Debtors should never become collectors. So let me pray for you today. Father, I thank you today for the blood of Jesus that cancels any unpayable debt. By your Spirit, empower this choice to forgive. We release those who owe us, entrust justice to you, and ask for healed hearts and wise steps towards reconciliation. Make us a people not only forgiven, but forgiving. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, thanks for being a part of Good Morning Live. If today's teaching has helped you, share it with someone. Because you never know who's struggling with unforgiveness right now. We've all had a lot of experiences and stuff that happened in our life. Forgiveness is hard. I always have compassion for people who are struggling in this area because, man, we've all been there. And we all have that inner built-in flesh part that says, I can't let this go. I can't let it go. To let this go, to let that person off the hook, it would destroy me. But what I'm saying, he has forgiven us of so much more. Freedom is found on the other side of that decision. So keep leaning into the word. Keep pioneering your future with faith. Don't allow these things to sidetrack you. There's a, and I say this just real quick in closing, there's a story in your Bible where the army of God was walking on a road and a man was murdered on the road, and David gave the command, take the man and move him off the road, because what was happening is their entire troops had stopped because they found this dead body in the road. And David was on mission. He had cities to take. He had conquests to do. And he said, we can't just have the whole troop stop. So he said, move the body off the road. Move the trauma off the road, if you will, so that we can move forward. And sometimes it is in something that terribly happened to you, a trauma, a situation, and you just like, it's this thing in the road that's keeping you from moving forward. Forgiveness moves it off the road. Not saying it didn't happen, but it says, I can't stay here forever. I can't be bound by this forever. And when you move it off the road, it frees you to move forward, to pioneer deeper in your faith, to trust God, trust him, that he's faithful to his word. Vengeance is his. The battle is his. You be faithful to bless, to love, to encourage, and watch God, what God does in your life. So again, it may be by the end of the day, you'll find somebody you need to forgive. And I trust that you're leaning into Christ for that. Well, thank you so much for being on with me today. It's an honor and a privilege, as always, to open up the Word of God with you. I'll be back with you tomorrow morning right here at 8 a.m. I wanted to ask, and I know, let me just put this out here, because some of you have said, well, I watch later on. I watch the replays later on, and that's great. We love that. But is 8 a.m. too early for some of you? And if so, comment in what time. When we do these lives, I've done 8 a.m. because for me, it's like when I come into the office, it's, you know, I got a little bit of time and it's the first thing that we do. But if some of you are like, hey, 10 o'clock is better, 9 o'clock's better, you know, whatever, just chat in. Even if this is on the replay, I'll see all the comments later on. And tell me what time you would like to see Good Morning Live happen. And if not, we'll keep doing that at 8 a.m. and you can watch it whenever. But I just wanted to see if there was a better time out there for all of you. Hey, good morning, Andrew. Good morning, Denise. Good morning, Haley. Good I see some of your chats and comments coming in. But all right, well, be blessed. Have an amazing day with God. Remember, tonight, Hope City Church, 6:30 for prayer, 7 o'clock for service. I'm teaching about the old gods that are trying to resurface in our world. So be here. It's going to bless your life. I'll see you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed.